On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. We have Representative Adam Neelan on the line, and our first topic is the unemployment claims backlog. The State Department of Workforce Development has processed nearly 4 million claims in 4 months, but still tens of thousands of Wisconsinites are waiting weeks, even months. Democratic lawmakers are looking to change unemployment laws to address the backlog. Have you filed for unemployment since the start of the pandemic? What has your experience been like? What are you seeking from state lawmakers as they consider economic relief bills? How would you prioritize state tax dollars? We're at 800-642-1234. Adam Neelan is a Republican state representative from Pewaukee. He chairs the Assembly Committee on Jobs and the Economy. He's also vice chair of the Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules. Representative Neelan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Happy to be here.
Well, let's first start with unemployment. Earlier this month, Republicans floated the idea of creating a 100% forgivable bridge loan program through the CARES Act money, and residents who are waiting for their unemployment claims would be processed that way. What do you think of this?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at this heartbreaking situation where people are trying to afford their mortgage and feed their families and, you know, just get by in this global pandemic right now, I think we need to have all options on the table in terms of how we're helping people. And I think that if you look at the loan process in terms of coming in, you know, providing your social security number, bank routing information, I think that could be a streamlined process. It's able to get money into the hands of people right away. I think it's an idea. I think it's a way that we can use some of that federal dollars that is meant to assist the people of Wisconsin to better help them. So, you know, I think it's a worthy idea that should be discussed and vetted and go through the public hearing process. But it's an idea that I think could help a lot of Wisconsinites.
Governor Evers has said, though, it's risky just to send money out with no real understanding of the adjudication process that DWD goes through. Are you have any concerns about fraud?
Well, I mean, in terms of administering the unemployment insurance claims process, I don't think he has a great track record of the unemployment insurance as well. I mean, I think we saw that he had overpaid over $20 million in benefits in the month of April alone. So, you know, I understand why he'd be concerned about that. I mean, it certainly has happened on his watch, but I think that there is a way to do it that's streamlined, that's effective. And one of the things we need to be able to help Wisconsinites, and, you know, if you look at the process that could be providing loans to people in need, you know, that there is a process of getting that money back or clawing it back if it was due it fraudulently, especially if you have someone's social security number and their bank account number, and, you know, you could put it within their state taxes so we could claw it back through the tax process. So I think there are ways to mitigate those concerns, but, you know, I understand where he's coming from.
Well, last week, Democrats unveiled their own package of 8 bills on looking at unemployment. Several bills would expand eligibility for benefits, reduce work search requirements, and give state workers more discretion to approve claims. How do you look at these bills? Are these steps sound to you?
I think they're worthy to take a look at, certainly. You know, I think one of the problems that we're having in the state of Wisconsin right now is through the administering the unemployment insurance program as is. You know, and I'm not sure that any of those bills go to address some of the problems we have through unemployment insurance, simply making more people eligible for it. You know, while, you know, that is a discussion that, you know, I'm willing to have and that we can take a look at, I think the main issue we have with unemployment insurance right now is an administrative problem, and the fact that so many people out there, so many Wisconsinites who are eligible, currently eligible to receive unemployment insurance benefits, aren't receiving them. And I think we need to fix that backlog. You know, we need to address that issue. If we can simply get the unemployment insurance benefits to the people that are deserving of them and have been waiting for them, that's going to go a long way to helping our workforce and helping recover from this global pandemic. And I'm not sure that that's the direction that we need to be focusing our priorities on.
We're discussing unemployment, the pandemic, state politics with Representative Adam Neelan from Pewaukee. With your insights, what are your top priorities for state lawmakers if they return to Madison this year for votes? What needs to be addressed? What questions do you have for Representative Neelan? What do you want to ask him? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Representative, is there bipartisan agreement to improve the state's unemployment system this year? Do you see where Democrats and Republicans can come together around changes to unemployment?
I do. And I think some of that work has been done in terms of being able to shift an unlimited amount of state employees over to DWD to help process claims, to have the ability to expand hours, have the ability to shift more money from the CARES Act dollars into DWD. I think there has been work done to try to improve the system. You know, if you look at, you know, you hear a lot of criticism about the actual system itself, but a lot of
that states, it's,
you
know, so old.
Right. But a lot of other states, when you look at Iowa, you look at Colorado, a lot of states that are doing some innovative work. I mean, Colorado recently launched a new program allowing callers to have an automated system to talk to a virtual agent to help streamline this process. Well, guess what? They also use COBOL. So a lot of the states that are doing innovative, interesting things to help streamline this process are also using this system that Democrats continue to blame for part of the process. So I think it goes beyond the system. You know, I think this has shined the light on ways that we can try to help and streamline this process and help people to, you know, process the claims quicker. But ultimately, I think a lot of this falls on just a failure to administer the these claims efficiently and properly. And you know, I think in some ways the administration was kind of caught blindsided by this, which is very surprising.
Representative John Nygren tweeted last month that the state could call in the National Guard to help process claims like how Washington State did. What do you think of that approach?
I think that's a good idea. You know, I think that if we're able to get more people to process claims, if we're able to have more hours, if we're able to automate the initial process, I mean, anything we can do to improve or streamline this process to make sure that people are getting the benefits, I mean, it breaks my heart. I mean, hundreds of people contact our office about, you know, waiting, you know, they're waiting 8 to 10 weeks. And, you know, some of these people, I mean, they're trying to pay to keep their mortgage. You know, they're trying to feed their family. I mean, this is an emergency situation. So if we can bring in the National Guard to help streamline this process and help get benefits to people faster, I'd be all for it.
Should state lawmakers increase the state's unemployment payments when the federal government's $600 weekly assistance expires this month?
You know, I think that, you know, we should certainly look at all options in terms of how we can help Wisconsinites. But unfortunately, unlike the federal government, we can't print money. So we have certain limitations and budget constraints, and I'm not sure if it's fiscally feasible to do that, but I certainly think we should take a look, get a better understanding of where our budget's at, look at the numbers and see if there are things we could do to assist or to supplement people's income. But, you know, it's tough when you are operating under budget constraints, as the state of Wisconsin does, opposed to the federal government, who has a lot more ability to put money into the economy.
We have Representative Adam Neelan from the 98th Assembly District, including Pewaukee, parts of Lisbon, half of Waukesha. Do you live in the district? What do you want to ask about? What are your top priorities for state lawmakers if they return to Madison this year? What needs to be addressed? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. The state cap continues in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Republican Representative Adam Neelan of Pewaukee stays with us as we look at the pressing issues Wisconsinites face in the COVID-19 pandemic. We're asking how lawmakers are responding to these challenges. What are the greatest difficulties in your life, in your community, that you want state lawmakers to know about? What questions do you have about how the pandemic and how state authorities are responding? What actions should lawmakers take now? Join in 800-642-1234. And Representative Nealon stays with us for 10 more minutes. Greg from Sheboygan called in but couldn't stay with us, wanted to know whether you think the state opened too soon.
I think that in terms of opening, I think it certainly should be a regional approach. And I do not believe that the state opened too soon in terms of allowing people to get back to work and be able to support their family. I mean, we talked about the unemployment crisis right before this. I mean, I can't imagine what type of crisis we would be in and if we had continued the shutdown for this entire time, you know. But I do think that there is a balance, but we need to protect freedom and we need to protect people's ability to go to work and provide for their family. And I don't think that there was any way that we're going to be able to keep people locked down and not go to people's houses or visit their families. I think that we just need to be able to make sure that our hospitals aren't overrun, that we try to flatten the curve. So I don't believe, you know, in general that we open too soon. I certainly believe in a local approach. And if, you know, Milwaukee County has an approach to it that's different than Waukesha County or that's different than Sheboygan County, then I support that. I think that that is in the best interest of, you know, local governments to put these restrictions on. But at the same time, overall, no, I don't think that we opened too soon.
Well, let's look at mask wearing. In recent weeks, more communities across the state are issuing orders that require people to wear masks in buildings or indoor places. You said last month that wearing masks should be a personal choice. Are you standing by that?
In terms of wearing masks, overall, yes, it is a personal choice. I mean, there are situations where certainly masks would be effective. If you're in a situation where you can't socially distance, if you're inside and talking to somebody face to face, then yeah, to limit spread, then it would be important to wear a mask, you know. But I don't think that all situations are created equally, and that, you know, there are situations where it doesn't make sense to wear a mask. There are certain people that have health limitations that aren't able to wear masks. So I think we need to understand that there are situations where it makes a lot of sense and there are situations where it does not. You know, you look at certain situations where somebody is out walking their dog wearing a mask. I don't understand that, quite frankly. You know, I don't understand why the government would require somebody outside that is not, you know, within 6 feet of somebody to have to wear a mask to leave their house. You know, so I think it should be decided on a case-by-case basis, you know, and that when you are indoors talking to someone face-to-face, it makes a lot of sense. And in a lot of other situations, you know, 99% of the situations you're in your daily life, a mask shouldn't be required.
How would you see mask orders different from, say, the government ordering people not to smoke indoors or perhaps the debate over wearing a seatbelt?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, on a mask situation should be handled through the emergency rulemaking process. It should not be handled by lawmakers creating a law that says, you know, that masks should be worn at certain times. We have a process through this, through the emergency rulemaking process, where the governor can propose rules. Granted, they need to be approved by the Joint Committee on Rules, Administrative Rules, which I do sit on. And we look at different rules that could be beneficial for a certain time period that lapse. You know, it's not like smoking indoors where you have to pass a law so forever that you can't be smoking indoors. Masks, we should not be passing a law forever regarding masks. It should be handled on the rulemaking process. And quite frankly, Governor Evers has not proposed that. you know, and he has not proposed any rules through the emergency rulemaking process at this phase, which, you know, I think is concerning because there are things that we should look at to protect our most vulnerable populations, to look at a plan to open schools and the UW system. So I do think that there is a dramatic difference in how lawmakers approach mask wearing versus things like smoking indoors.
We're discussing state politics with Republican Representative Adam Nealon from Pewaukee and taking your calls at 800-642-1234. You mentioned schools there. Representative, Milwaukee and Madison Public Schools are planning to start the year completely virtual. Other districts are looking at hybrid plans. How do you feel about kids and teachers returning to classrooms this fall?
Yeah, I would be supportive of them returning to classrooms. I think there needs to be, you know, a discussion in terms of how we can best protect both the children and the faculty. But if you look at, you know, overall education, you know, being an essential part of our society, and I think kids do learn better when it comes to being at schools hands-on. I mean, hands-on learning is a big part of our curriculum, and being able to, you know, interact with others, to like learn from a teacher in person, to be part of a school community, I think is vital to the development of children. I certainly understand that there are certain restrictions or requirements or maybe temporary rules that must be put in place to protect the health and safety, you know, of our population. But overall, I think we should be working towards figuring out how to get children back into school.
And that's going to take dollars, though. The amount of cleaning and the reduced classroom size and the student to teacher ratio. How do you do that without additional funding?
Well, I mean, in terms of proposal, you know, we certainly are going to be going into this budget looking at ways to increase education funding. You know, I mean, if there is a proposal, like I alluded to earlier, I mean, if there is an emergency rule that requires funding, I mean, the only way to propose that to get the ball rolling is to have an agency or the administration propose that. And at this point, you know, even being on the Committee on Administrative Rules, I have not heard from the governor's office or any agencies or administration in terms of how we can look at solving this issue. I have sent a letter several months ago to the governor saying, hey, look, I am on board for figuring out how to get schools back open, how to protect our vulnerable population. I mean, what is the funding requirements? I mean, let's figure this out. And I have not heard back.
What kind of statewide order would you consider reasonable at this point?
In terms of education or overall?
Overall, education, you name it. As you are vice chair of the legislature's rules committee, which could play a very influential role in allowing, say, future shutdown orders by the governor or stipulations on education.
I truly hope that we do play a role, because we should play a role. And in terms of looking at rules, I'd be all for it. I mean, I am not out there, and Republicans aren't out there saying there should not be any rules. I mean, we need to look at in terms of protecting our vulnerable population, getting people back to school. Are there funding issues? Let's address that. What's our budget like? I mean, we want to be part of this discussion. Unfortunately, when you look at the proposal, it needs to come from the governor to get the ball rolling. And if I was the governor, I'd be calling every member of the committee saying, what are the things we can work on? What are the things we can get done? But I've heard crickets. And when you listen to what the governor says, he says, well, we're probably not going to be able to pass something through the Republican legislature, so I don't see the point. And that, to me, that's a failure of leadership. I mean, just speculating that we can't pass rules is not reason enough not to draft a proposal or to reach out to the other side to say, what can we get done? And I truly want to be part of the solution. And, you know, I've sent a letter requesting, you know, how can we do something to protect the vulnerable populations? How do we get kids back to school?
I want to quickly bring in Pam in Horicon with a question. Hi, Pam.
Sure. I'm curious what the representative has children in public school.
I have three children, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old, and I send them to the Waukesha Community Technical College Child Development Center. They're not old enough for public school. My oldest will be starting public school 4K this fall. So, yes, she is enrolled in public school this fall.
Really quickly, we talked with Department of Children and Family Secretary Emily Amundson last week, and she urged more funding for child care on top of the $51 million from the CARES Act. What is your response?
Absolutely. I mean, child care is going to be a crisis, no doubt about it. I mean, it is, you know, I just met with the Child Care Administrative Board last week to discuss different ways that we could address this problem. I mean, if you look at all the studies, you know, child's brains are fully developed and formed by the time they're 5 years old. And this needs to be on the forefront of people's minds when they're looking at the recovery, is looking at ways we can improve childcare, improve access to childcare, improve affordability. Certainly vitally important.
Representative Nealon, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Adam Nealon, Republican state representative from Pewaukee, represents Sussex, Pewaukee, and half of Waukesha. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with WISPolitics editor J.R. Ross. That's after a news update here on the Ideas Network.